Great to be here. I'm always excited to come to Hyde Park. A great prayer, thanks, James. I was walking in the garden just the other day, and springtime, all the young birds are fledgling, and there was this little willy wagtail that obviously had never seen a human before, and it just flew right up and sat that far from me. And it was just looking at me, and I was looking at it, and then it just flitted off. And then I walked a bit further, and there's two white butterflies just started following me around. I thought, this is the kingdom of God. Like, it was just blew me away how like amazing it's gonna be. Like, it's gonna be so out of our experience. And it just felt like God was there and he was saying, here's a little picture of what it's gonna be like, hang in there. But tonight we are talking about let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, because I think that is your theme for the year. I really like the Message translation of where this wording of probably Paul comes from. Paul is the king of metaphors. He uses so many metaphors for the spiritual journey, the spiritual fight, the spiritual energy that is required to be a disciple. Racing, fighting, boxing, you name it, planting, farming, he uses them all. But we're looking at racing tonight. So he says, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who have blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish. In and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever, and now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your life. What a cool translation. That sort of captures the essence of what Paul, why Paul was using that metaphor. Okay, what is the race we're in? Everyone sees the spiritual life differently. I'm a competitive person, so I like the metaphor of a race, but we're not racing against each other. We're not competing against each other, but the idea of a race is a metaphor about the effort and the discipline and the goal required in discipleship. So, what is the race? The race of life. I like it. It doesn't work that good. I think black's better. Race of life. Yep. I'll go the life. Yep. The race to life. Yep. The race against time, yep. The race is a time of testing. It's a time of probation, yep. Keep going. Yeah, so it's a journey of spiritual growth. Yep. Is that okay, Mark? Yep. Yeah, it's a race to eternity. Yep. Yeah, it's a race along the narrow way. A race of encouragement. Yeah, I like it. Say that again, James. Okay, it's an event of endurance to a destination. Yep. 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 Collective race. Yep. Could we say it's the race of faith? Is that the race of grace, the race of faith? I like it. So yeah, it's the race of faith by grace. Yeah. So that's it. Like, so we're in this event called life, which is the life of faith. And Paul uses a metaphor that it is like a race. It's like it requires planning, energy, discipline. Why do we run? Why have we entered this race? Absolutely. We believe what, Pan? We believe it's to life, by life, in life, to life. Yep. Yeah, we believe in the promise of the goal. 100%. It's the best choice. We're running for the best prize / gift ever. Yeah. Yeah. Jesus has run the race. Jesus has run the race. He's finished the race. He's come back and he's going to make sure we finish the race. He's handing out energy pills along the way. This is the metaphor that Paul wants us to get onto, okay? And the thing in the future is an absolute certainty so long as we keep believing and keep running. Keep striving. That's the thing. Correct. We run the race because we don't have to finish it because Jesus finished it. And all he wants to do for us is to engage in the striving to be like him. Is that what you're going to say? Yeah. So it's not to get there or to have something good about us. It's about the goal is to be like Jesus. The goal is to be godly. You stop, you drop. That's a good one. You stop, you drop. Exactly right. Okay, we haven't got long, so I'm going to get straight into this because this is the takeaway thing I want you to leave with is that we got to be in training. You got to train for any race. If it's a marathon, if it's 100 meters, cross country. If you're going to be a musician and you want to reach a goal, you've got to train. You've got to engage in the exercises that will help you run the race, that will improve you as you run the race. That is an absolute no-brainer. So my takeaway tonight for you is you've got to do personal training. If you don't, you won't have the energy. You won't be working with God to give you the spirit and the hope and the faith to maintain the journey, because it is you're against the tide. It's like anything, you know. So I've distilled it down to 6 basic exercises you've got to engage in every day. Does anyone want to have a guess of any of these exercises? Praying to God, talking to God, yes. Listening to God, yes. Thinking about God, yes. Yes. Serving others, yes. You got 4. Worship, yes. 5. We're almost there, but I think it's the most important one. No, that's good. Good one though. Hey? No, it's the most important thing for us to do in this day and age. Yes, but it's not a spiritual discipline. Sorry? Believe? No, that's taken for granted. Yes, that's my last one. Get back up, which is the same as someone else said. But I like that. Get back up, because that's part of training. You're going to fall over. You're going to get tired. You're going to get an injury. You've got to get back up. The first one I've got is stop everything. Stop everything. Be still and know that I am God. Okay? That is the first thing I think we've got to do, is stop everything. Until you get to this point, done all this stuff, it's not important. Oh, apart from that one, you know, train yourself to be godly. Paul uses that in 1 Timothy. Train, like gymnastics, yourself, not someone else. This is personal training. Yourself to be or towards godlikeness. First exercise, stop everything. So this is really about intentionally, mindfully practicing the presence of God. Being still. Moses went into the tabernacle when he wanted to listen to God. He went up to the mountain. Jesus went to a quiet place. David sat on a mountaintop. It's the litany of examples of spirituality is you've got to be still with God. You've got to learn to sit with Him without any distraction. Come into His presence intentionally, I believe. I've been doing this for probably the last 18 months because, you know, I was struggling, like having a few issues, obviously, mentally. And this has really helped. I find I have a place where I go, I light a candle, and I sit with God. I want to sit with my Father. It's a place where I'm seeking Him. And in that place, if you haven't done it before, set an alarm for 10 minutes, see if you can do it. There'll be a lot of stuff going through your head. Your voice, God's voice. I don't know where that voice came from. But what you're doing is you're saying to God, I want to hear your voice in me. I want to know you. I want to be with you. I love you. And just be still. And in this place, like all the other stuff that people do, you're aware of your breathing. God gave you breath. You're aware of your posture. You're open. You're receptive. You're relaxing. You're calming yourself down. This is important for me because I'm a person who just does stuff. You know, so it's difficult for me to do this exercise, but it is so critical. It's so critical for all of us, and we're all at different stages. We're young, we're energetic, we've got so much to do in a day, we've got kids, you know, we're older, but I think it's imperative that we just stop everything and we want to be in God's presence. We want to be with Him, and you can find a special place to do it. And Mark goes walking, and it's probably when he's with God. You know, he walks every morning. You're in nature. It's a place, and you might walk past a tree and go, that tree, now I'm in God's presence. I want to be with Him. I want to seek Him, you know. So that is the first thing. I like 5BX because the Canadians have this Air Force thing called 5 Basic Exercises, which is 5 Basic Exercises you can do using calisthenics, which will make you insanely fit, and you're sort of age related. So this idea of 5 basic spiritual exercises, which are personal, but they are known to promote spiritual growth with the discipline of doing it. It's not an end in itself. It's not, I've done this, I now feel like I'm better, or I've done 3 readings and now I feel like more godly. You've got to get rid of all that stuff and go, I just want to create a routine that I am with God and I enjoy doing it. I feel good. It encourages me. First thing, stop everything. Second, listen to your Father. In that space, you're listening to what He's saying to you through your conscience, through nature, through the wind. You're aware of your surroundings. You're listening. This is a thing too. It's not just, well, I'm reading God's word, so I'm listening to Him. We've got to have, I think we've got to work on a more holistic approach to our relationship with God is spiritual, natural, and physical. And looking after ourselves physically, emotionally, and spiritually, it all sort of flows in. And this is part of that. And to Tarn's point about this is a time where you can read. You can read the scripture. Beginning of last year, I just decided to read the Bible from front to back because I just wasn't going to under any time pressure. I'll just read as much as I can a day. Might be one chapter, might be half a chapter. I just note where it is and I just read through it. I'm only up to the middle of Psalms now, so that's 1 year it took me to read half the Bible. I know someone who was going through a lot of difficulty and they just started writing the Bible out. So that was the only exercise they did every day, was just write Genesis 1, verse 1 to 5. And, you know, it was what they did to be in that space where you're listening to God. You're reading a portion of His Word, you're thinking about it, you're forming intentions, you're meditating, you're taking it from your head to your heart, which is basically meditation. Meditation is just turning it from the theory into a feeling where you will get action or feel the impulse to do, applying the word, ready to obey. Aim for 20 minutes. So I said, be still for 10, read for 20. That's 30 minutes. Talk to your Father, pray. Now, when you do this, it's not like lineal. You won't, like, now I'm going to do my silence, now I'm going to read, because when you're quiet, you might start talking to God anyway. Oh, I'm just feeling so good now and I'm enjoying being with you and whatever. It's just a communal thing, but you're in His presence like with a friend. You're silent, sometimes you're silent, sometimes you're not, but you're there. So this is about specific praying, like thank you, help me, is pretty much the Lord's Prayer. These are the things I want to thank you for. These are the things I'm grateful for. Help me with these things. 2 minutes I'll put, because I struggle to pray formally for 2 minutes. Like often, you know, I'll get down on my knees and I'll start praying and I'll do the Lord's Prayer, or I'll just pour out what I want to talk to about God. But it's not often long. And if you're struggling with prayer, just study the Lord's Prayer and use it as a template, because it is the ultimate template for prayer. Each of those sayings, Our Father, think about the fatherhood of God, how wonderful He is, chart in heaven, you know, you're so amazing. You know, it's just little gateways that you can extrapolate and extend on in each of those little phrases. So stop everything, listen, talk, worship. Worship your Father and the Lord Jesus. And this is really about gratitude and thankfulness. Just singing or playing or listening to something which makes you feel so adoring and thankful to God and praising Him. You know, you read the Psalms, I'll praise you for your goodness and justice. I'll praise you for your kindness and mercy. I'll make a noise because you are so good. You know, it's just allowing that time to worship. And in the last only year and a half, I picked up my guitar again, got a little music stand there. I'm not a good guitarist by any stretch of the imagination, but I love singing. And that's helped me a lot. Just that little time where I can sing a song or two, you know, and it feels good. Before I was doing these things, I would just get out of bed and just start my day. And it would be an endless litany of activity, which was good activity. But I believe I was missing the essence of what it was to know God and to develop a relationship with Him. And so this is about worship, which is so powerful. To your point, you all said this. So this is the fifth discipline, the fifth exercise is run together. Do the park run, where you come together and you do those things, but as a group. You pray, you sing, you read, you think, you teach, you sing, you worship, you serve. Minimum once a week. 1 to 2 hours a week, you've got to be together. And that's why Jesus said, come together. If you can do it more, that's good. But some people can't. And some people can't even do it communally, but encourage them to do it where they can. If that means organising someone to go there or just encouraging them to have one or two people there, that's maybe what it takes. But that togetherness, at some point, we do this together. How am I going, Mark? How many minutes? Two. Righto. 2 minutes. We're almost there. And this is exactly what Anna said, get back up. Because sometimes life, well, most times life doesn't go like we plan it. And like training. Yeah, you look at those great players, they'll get an injury, they'll break their leg, they'll strain something, they'll get a mental breakdown. Whatever it is, they are challenged. And we are challenged by life. We're challenged by the things that happen to us. But we've got to see these as God's. We've got to embrace these setbacks as things that are useful and positive to our life and to those around us. That as hard as they are, and we know, and you know the difficulties that many of you face, you know it's difficult, but it's just getting back up and doing these things again because you love God and you love Jesus and you just want to be like them, and you know the run's worth it. It's like when you get up in the morning, you can go two ways. You can go left, and that's back to the darkness, back to the hellhole, back to evil. Or you can turn towards the sunrise, the light. It's a slightly uphill road, but you want to go to the light. You want to go to the sun. Yes, Ralph. Hundred percent. Yeah. Oh, I think that's good self-awareness, Ralph. I would never ask God to put something on me. I know what you're saying, though. I know what you're saying. Because I've often thought to myself, what would it take for me to drop and stay down there? It's true. It's true. But that's a time when you've got to keep doing these things and rejoice in them, because in those times, often it's in the dark times that you get back to these things. Yeah, 100%. Right, I'll leave it there, James. But just take home action point. If you're not doing this, just try and build it into your day. Build it into your life, because God doesn't interrupt us. God rarely interrupts us. We have to seek him out. We have to search him out. And this is the way. This is Jesus' way that he did it. Thanks, James.